I'm Sylvia Maria Gross. Casey Currents is KCUR's weekly magazine show. We use voices, stories, and sound to take you to neighborhoods around the region. Starting in the fall, basic curriculum requirements will change for undergraduates at the University of Kansas. As of now, each school, whether it's the School of Health Professions or the College of Liberal Arts and Sciences, has its own requirements. And some are pretty extensive and specific. Everyone has to take the same basic math or Western Civilization class, for example. But the new core curriculum doesn't require specific courses. It allows students to take a wider range that meet six overall goals. Last week, I spoke to KU's provost to hear how this will change teaching and learning at the school. But first, I talked to some KU undergrads about what they think of the current course requirements.
I'm Matt from Political Science. I don't know. Some of them are fun. I liked languages mostly, but not like math and science. That's why I went towards what I did. There's actually this one, Math 105, or something like that, I think. Introduction to Math Topics. I needed to graduate. It's the last class.
I'm Anna Kirchhoff. I'm an international studies major in French, and so far I've taken only humanities and French courses. I don't know how taking physics or like chemistry or astrology is going to help me with international studies. However, I understand that it's important to be well-rounded. Maybe I'll like one of them and change my career path, but I know myself well enough that right now, no.
I'm Aaron Ellis, and I'm an aerospace engineer major. So I'm focused a lot on math and science department, and I don't think there's anything wrong with doing some variety and getting some other classes out there, communications, working on the speaking skills, history, just knowing about the world, sociology, psychology, anything about the human behavior, anything like that is good. So I think maybe less specific isn't always bad.
It's Brian Fairchild, and yeah, I had to take a linguistics course. That's one that comes to mind, and like theater. I had to take theater as well, so those were interesting. They were fun, but didn't really apply to neurobiology.
My name is Kyrillos Andros Hanna. My major is petroleum engineering, and I'm a senior. The classes I took, social science, humanities, and advanced English, I don't know why we have to take that. I would rather take engineering classes than like humanities or social science.
I'm in the arts major, and sometimes it's hard going through a math class or a science class, but eventually you come out knowing stuff that you find you end up needing to know later.
I'm Jamie Bessie. I'm a sophomore in theatrical design. I had to take some classes that's like, oh, I wish I could have taken this different religion or this different humanities course, but I was stuck in the big lectures of 500 people because it was a requirement to take philosophy 100 instead of a cool 200 level philosophy that would have been more towards my interests.
Change may not come fast enough for these current KU students, but the new core curriculum responds to Jamie Bessie's desire for more options. While on campus, I sat down with University of Kansas Provost Jeff Vitter to hear more about the shift. He said the new core curriculum is about teaching a way of thinking.
Our KU core curriculum is focused not on specific courses or facts that we want students to learn, but it's all based around six educational goals, and they comprise a total of 12 outcomes. And those outcomes convey a whole set of skills, ways of looking at information and processing it that prepare students not only to thrive in today's technological world, but to have the foundation so that they can adapt and lead tomorrow's changing environment.
So before this change, each school had its own set of core requirements. Can you explain what those requirements were like? And I know they're still in effect this year. The core curriculum goes into effect next year.
That's right. Well, there's no simple way to describe them all because we have 10 academic schools in the college. The most, I would say, onerous set of requirements was the set of BA requirements in the College of Liberal Arts and Sciences. There were 72 credit hours required, which is way beyond what any of our peers do. And they were very prescriptive. And unfortunately, to me, what they ended up having the effect of doing was to prevent students from taking advantage of the truly unique opportunities that KU offers. And that's what we're really working on with the new KU core, to let students do study abroad, to encourage them to do research, to do internships, and have a whole set of experiential opportunities such as service learning that make a difference and make education come alive. It can change your life.
What were some of the classes that in the arts and sciences that everyone had to take?
There were a two-semester sequence of courses in, for example, Western civilization, which many students will continue to take, but that particular set is not required. The same with particular sets of writing courses and oral speaking courses. It really varies by the school as far as what was required, because every school had their own set of requirements.
What overall prompted the university to change the core?
What really convinced me that this was important was we had a set of requirements, but there was no link to an overarching rationale. We actually had, if you have these little white rulers that were circulated, we had a set of learning outcomes, but there was no effort, successful effort, that actually linked those outcomes to an actual curriculum. So I wanted to start at the basics and make sure that we first ask the important question, what are we trying to do with our education? What do we want students to absolutely have? And let that drive the rest of then what is required in the curriculum.
And how big of a change is this?
Well, it's a big change in that our curriculum does not require specific courses. It requires certain outcomes. And we have options to meet those outcomes. So far, roughly 500 courses have been approved to meet one or more of outcomes. We have another 400 or so in the pipeline. So very soon we'll have about 1,000 courses that meet various components of this KU core, offering students options on how they're going to meet the different requirements. And the unique thing is that we're not necessarily only requiring courses to meet outcomes. Students can satisfy the learning outcomes through study abroad or experiential learning like research or internships.
Just to summarize, the new core curriculum has 6 overall goals that students need to take courses to meet. Like, one is critical thinking and quantitative literacy. That's kind of a math and data goal. Mm-hmm. Another is communication, which encompasses writing and speaking. Another is breadth of knowledge. Another, culture and diversity. And also social responsibility and ethics, and integration and creativity. Can you explain how the administration came up with these 6 goals? It must have been a pretty contentious conversation.
Oh, there's never contention within a university. No, what we did because exactly of that issue, and in fact, this is something that pervades the entire strategic plan, it was extremely important that we do this with bottom-up input, that we have every faculty member, staff, and student have the opportunity for direct input. We had every department asked them to meet and put forward suggestions for what learning goals and outcomes there should be. Once we had this huge list, and then we kind of combined different ways of wording the same idea, we asked those same departments meet and determine for us the priorities of those goals and outcomes. And there was remarkable consensus of what came to the top in terms of the important educational goals.
And now the professors are going back and maybe retooling their courses so that they can be part of the core curriculum?
Yes, that's right. Many courses already satisfy the outcomes, and it's just a matter of verifying that through an application process. Other courses will be posed as potential contributors or possibly modified so that they do meet the outcomes of the KU core.
And I imagine that changes maybe the landscape in terms of some departments now having an opportunity to attract more students where they didn't because they weren't part of the core previously.
Exactly. And I think it's good at a university that we should always have new things happening. And this is an opportunity to relook at our courses. So many of the courses that were stalwarts previously will continue to be major courses. Other new ideas may come forward, and that's a very healthy thing in academics.
And I understand in terms of cultural diversity, there is one of the goals is culture and diversity. Mm-hmm. That means that certain courses will count towards the core that that in the past were not thought of as core. As you said before, Western civilization is kind of a classic in many universities, but now it doesn't have to be Western civilization to meet a history or a literature requirement.
That's right. That particular educational goal has two components. One that is focused on diversity within the United States, understanding our historical origins and the challenges and opportunities that we face with a multi-ethnic population. The other cultural global understanding piece has to do with overseas, which is a crucial aspect of today's world where global is becoming more and more a driving force in business and economics and society. And giving students that opportunity to understand and work with other cultures is just a tremendous learning experience.
And I wonder what's behind the idea of this goal of social responsibility and ethics. What types of courses help students meet those outcomes?
Well, if you pick up a random newspaper or listen to a radio broadcast, I think you're probably going to get the impression that it's a good thing for us to be more grounded in social responsibility and ethics. And I think in today's world, we're challenged in those areas. And the more that we can go back to what we really should be doing for the right reasons and understanding our responsibilities as a nation and as a member of a world community, that's a very positive thing. And the more that we can promote that, I think we're going to create better citizens of this world, and ultimately it will strengthen our nation.
What kind of courses would contribute to that?
Well, in social responsibility and ethics, there are basic ethics courses, but there are a whole set of opportunities, such as perhaps involving service learning, where students would be working in the community, applying their knowledge in a way that really reinforces what they learn in the classroom in a way that they could not get from a classroom alone.
This is Casey Currents on KCUR. We're speaking with University of Kansas Provost Jeffrey Vitter about the new core curriculum, which goes into effect next school year. Now, does this echo a trend at other universities? Are other universities looking at revamping their core curriculum?
Several universities have done that, but I like to think that KU has done it the best way, the right way, and that's by this outcomes-focused approach. But generally, there have been universities that, over the course of time, revise what they do. And what's rewarding to me is that we're already getting calls from other places who want to learn about what we've done and copy it because of the really good things that they've seen come out of KU.
Defenders of the old core curriculum might say that there's still a value in requiring all students to take specific courses like algebra or Western civilization, and that there are certain things that all educated people should know, certain books that everyone should read. What do you think about that idea?
Well, frankly, we have a whole lifetime, and we're not going to be able to learn all we should learn in our entire lifetime. So when you look at what should happen during 4 years of college, that's why we went through this prioritization exercise. There are so many important things that would be great if students could experience them. We want to make sure they have the basics, because they're going to be changing careers multiple times in their lifetime. They're going to be living for many, many decades, and we want to give them the foundation for how to learn, because you cannot finish an education. It's just a starting project. And I'm really excited about this KU core, because it gives students that basic from which they can then go out and they know how to learn, and they will be learning their entire lifetimes.
There's also the idea that having so many options might make it easier for students to kind of pick and choose whatever the easiest way towards a degree is.
Well, I look at it a different way, and that is that options will give students an opportunity to experiment, to go into areas that they may have been afraid of going into before, or possibly handicapped because of so many requirements. Those areas could end up their majors. They may not. But students will gain valuable skills. They will double major, they will have minors, they will take on certificates, and they will put together unique sets of courses that may not correspond to any formal program, but will give them, in their individual way, an important background for them to go on from graduation and do good things in life. And that's what we're about here.
KU Provost Jeff Vitter, thank you so much for your time.
It's a pleasure. Nice talking with you, Sylvia.
Coming up, the bishop tells the National Catholic Reporter to remove the word Catholic from its name. Hear the editor's response. You're listening to Casey Currents.